Down on me, just me, being I was three. When you're three, there's no one but me. Daughter of three to remind me what it's like to be me.
Heard Charlie Bird announcing on his program last Sunday as follows. The government, with the approval of the European Union, has promised to create 100,000 new positions between now and the centenary of the Easter Rising. That's 4 years hence. Fortunately, it was on radio. For how could television illustrate 100,000 new positions before the 9 p.m. watershed. Even the Kama Sutra never managed that. Or maybe it did, because the pages of my copy got stuck together somehow. Here are five key questions for Minister Bruce. 1. How is this plan to be rolled out? 2. How can one take part in the pilot scheme? 3. Will the training be done online? 4. Or perhaps at interactive false workshops? 5. Will there be on-the-job coaching? A long pause. Jo Barton flicked back her two brown bob and, looking straight at the camera lens, declared, "Now you understand why we had to close our embassy at the Vatican."
Okay, next up we have up from the Iberian Peninsula, Richard Ajo.
It's actually a zebra place, but not that far from Iberia.
Oh,
as well as you're on the right line. Here's a poem called "The Woman Who Hated Washing Machines." There once was a beautiful woman who could not keep a washing machine. She wore all the right labels. Her eyes smiled like the sky. Her teeth were the foamiest waves on the Atlantic. She had a handsome husband, two fine children, a boy and a girl. She was the star player on Brandon Day basketball team. Men ogled her at every turn. She was a magical cook, a good mother, but she could not keep washing machines. In the dead of night, she would smash them to oblivion with a sledgehammer, bursting drums on spin cycles, tearing at the seals with her teeth, kicking electrical circuits with orthotics inside her boots. Moonlit nights were the wildest. She rolled in the Atlantic, spinning inside barreling waves with a hysterical laugh. In the coming days, washing machine windows would land at her feet, shining on the shoreline. Receptacles of light, canvas on seaweed and sand. Still lives, receptacles of fruit. All the while, her family slept. And in the morning, the cold gleamed. Her husband loved her passionately, but thought she was a little hard on washing machines.
Thank you, Richard. And next we have the reigning runner-up Munster Slam champion, Mary O'Connell.
Apologies to people who had heard this already, but I only got to November to make it relevant. It's called Red in Tooth and Claw. The election of a president for the United States is not an easy task, with all the candidates making their pitch. Republicans are fighting fit, but fear the party may be split when Newt give way to Mitt. Gingrich has this itch to put miners on the moon. Perhaps he wants to feature as an extra in Cocoon. This spaced out politician needs to come back down to earth. His opponents have been exercised dishing out the dirt. A Newt is defined as amphibian with a tail. But the tale of his shenanigans is fairly off the scale. An ethics violation cost him a hefty fine, $300,000 for stepping out of line. An open marriage was his aim, he told his second wife. The poor thing had believed that marriage was for life. She was simply being selfish to want him for herself. his secretary Callista was such a fetching elf, she made no such demands on a man of his renown. So he opted for a divorce and hightailed it out of town. He can't stand welfare mamas, all those checks that must be signed, but he plays his cards quite subtly with Georgia on his mind. Mitt Romney is the one to watch, the bane of his foe's life. Bain Capital was the company Mitt believed was rife with stragglers and wasters who didn't pull their weight. So he sacked them and bought their shares at nearly half the rate. He's been called a corporate raider, a vulture on the rise. He once said he likes firing people, which is no surprise. This Mormon politician can converse in fluent French, but flouting his convictions must cause him quite a wrench. A pro-choice, gay rights activist is what he claims to be, but the church in Salt Lake City cannot possibly agree. Despite his earning millions each year, this perfect gent has a personal tax deduction of just 13%. Seamus, his Irish setter, was put into a crate that was fastened to the roof of his family estate. They were on a 12-hour journey when the kids became alarmed. The dog had started barking in the heat and could be harmed. They begged their dad to clean the crate, but could not even guess he'd use a hose and carry on, not bothering with the mess. These Republican front runners both need to be astute. But what if Mitt's a nitwit? And what if Newt's a brute?
Thank you, Mary. And another our regular bard, Seamus Harrison.
There was a news clip a couple of weeks ago there about an unusual bird seen in the South Dublin garden. So
good.
I said I'd try a haiku based on that. The northern lights, visitors from Donegal, they'd be white blackbirds. There was a gang of us gathered around the table for a month. Somebody got a fit of laughing so much, she started crying. There was a candle on the table, and I was looking at a teardrop. Same shape. That's what caused the shame. The banquet tables lit by one candle's tapered flame, casting a tranquil glow on that scented feast of game. Diverse foreign lot, deep in landlocked yacht, keen bloated guests are seated every sire and dame. Now this poor bird strayed off to evil grain. A terrestrial pet, he lived inside the frame. His retort, "Great Scott, fall jogging on my spot." But his excuse and victim were both extremely lame. From 5 meters off, the grandee took a steady aim. In cold they fired point blank, so sure to kill or maim. Preferring instant pot to instamatic shot. Prize exhibit photo in the Hall of Fame. Even though from opposite directions they came, and each is matchless with a very different name. Fluid elements so hot, no extra words need blot, as naked flame and teardrop are always shaped the same. Thank you.
Thank you, Seamus. And now another regular, Patricia Walsh.
The beautiful summer evenings of Junetide so fall away into night, and for some time of 5 to 6 hours, its blackness chills the tradition of life. In nighttime has its own comforts. The sprinkling of stars, for example, puncture the passions of mindless desire, and the moon's silver skins feel finally free to show off a complexion, pretty and interesting, albeit dashed by the space boost of 1,000 spacers. My tribe, all of it, considered it the perfect time to carry on with the necessary business of eating and drinking, loving and meeting, all small things done extraordinarily well. All this is done, microbands can create unimaginable lights, barely flashing. I'm so happy to be here. Life I made for walking, life starts here, and ends when in solidarity and good cheer. Lights are late in hiding, so let us turn to the orange dawn at the end of the sky. From the city, Aurora Borealis, orange and frightening, tells another secret, and we bloom up north. Thank you.
About Aurora Borealis tonight, right?
Yeah.
We don't see it down here very often. Next up we have the reigning Matamara Slam champion, Mr. David Hines.
I should probably just within preamble here, I'm doing a bit of a experiment here, seeing how metal lyrics are taken out of context with music and stuff, so probably going to be a bit of a downer for everybody. This is called Cloaked in Doctrine, this is a song from my old metal band. Crusade of conviction, castration of instinct, repressing impulse, slowly grinding away, goading the loyal to bear the weight of the world, preaching your faith with a silver forked tongue, upon those unknown to the means or the end, coaxed by your hand into the subversive domain. Despondent orations for clamoring hordes, cloaked in the doctrines worn time and again, with twisted arms pushing aside all that they've known, the scope of repression's all-encompassing, and ultimate committal, sacrificing themselves, gathers them all lured by a fear of eternity. How long before the fools finally stir to herald the end of these numbers unseen? How many more for your world within worlds, to unwittingly for your end the vital spectrum? It's fervor and hatred, they breathe the same air, and align for a time in your twisted form. Thus burning the bottom feeders, cast from your mould, dredging the sewers in the name of God. Despondent orations for clambering hordes, cloaked in the doctrines worn time and again, with twisted arms pushing aside all that they've known, the scope of repression's all-encompassing, and ultimate committal, sacrificing themselves, gathers them all lured by fear of eternity. Thus burning the bottom feeders, cast from your mould, dredging the sewers for a long-lost cause, cloaked in the doctrines worn time and again, picking the bones in the name of God. Visions of dependence, mistaken for hope, such certainty betrays the lack of reason. The words of hierarchy, taken for truth, like serpents preying on the need to believe, preying on the fear of eternity.
Thanks, David. And next we have Martin Daly.
Thank you. I didn't even know this place existed, but I'm probably coming back here. The first one, the chart, it's called Cliffs. Kisses near the edge of cliffs, passionate, yet dangerous liaisons. She once fell over. No sex that night. This one was inspired by Brokeback Mountain, and I called it Broke is Back Mountain. Two cowboys, Joe and Jim, one guy from a wealthy family, the other a poor farmer's background, both rich in love, and the other for a cowboy way of life. And that brought them together on Brokeback Back Mountain. 3 months in, long days, cold nights, smelly socks, boyish fights. One particular night, as they roasted their sausages on an open fire, the conversation goes something like this. Joe, I've been taking my girl back home. Little titty. Jim, what do you call her that? Joe, what? I'll always be real trying hard to get a little titty. Jim, Joe, you bastard, if she could hear you, now, me, in the moonlight, romantic and all that. The roasted sausages. Joe. Something's up my legs! Something's up my legs! Gotta get it out of my legs! That's a stick! Jim. Hold on there, my friend. It's my hand. It's a wandering hand. Joe. It kinda feels good. A man good kind of feeling. Jim. It's the same for me. I've got the jingles in my jangles. They proceed to kiss each other passionately, and they have man sex. Later that night, as Joe is resting his cowboy head on Jim's chest, Joe, what do we do now? We cross that line. Jim, just start doing anything stupid. Don't tell her fiance or nothing. She doesn't understand a man. Joe, I know, I feel strange, but special. Very special. I think our love will go on and on until one of us is killed by a gang who hates gays. And our life will be made into a major motion picture with two Hollywood stars that just look like us. Jim. Yeah, you're special, right, Joe? Joe. Have you done this before, Jim? Jim. Fuck yeah! Loads of times! You don't think you're the first cowboy I brought up here, do you? I'm bisexual! Thank you very much.
Next up we have Ed Johnson.
Okay, I wrote this about 10 minutes ago or so, so bear with me. It's called Hello, Can I Help You? Calls, calls they keep coming, empty platitudes, soulless conversations, empty commiserations. A call center, a center for calls, self-centered calls. Why so high? Is this a mistake? I can't abuse all of that. All questions only they can answer. Questions with no answers. Absolute questions. I only answer the phone. Counting down hours, minutes, seconds, and moments until I go home.
Thank you, Ed. Next up, we have Rosie Torino.
Called Inspire, and it's a bit romantic. I missed Valentine's last week, and it's a fall.
Beautiful.
Your kisses breathe me in, hold me there, teeth to my feather hair tether, sumptuously suspended. Your finger, lip, tip, touch, tongue tickles me to brim. Your kisses breathe me in. When we exhale, what precious particles remain, delicately imprinted within intrinsic echoes. Every pulse a promise, each the lingerings of a kiss that breathe me in and hold me there, held. Thank you.
Our penultimate reader tonight is Kieran McGarson.
the first song we've ever written, and it's for FEMA on her last ovale before she takes off from the season. Round here we speak not of the future, no character in the room. Is there a doomsday coming? Are there saints at large the loom? There's a curtain on my eyebrow and an old man speaks of doom. Do these white spots make me pretty? Are there saints at large the loom? It's that general choir that haunts me. It cripples from within. As I walk the east and west wing, Lord, I can hear that choir sing. And over my being is my thought expels my sin. As I walk that dark corridor, I can hear that choir sing. If I've a life like a black bowl's potion, can I see my brother swim? My sister cries like a misty ocean, and I can see my brother swim. The dead have led the pale, but I promise to keep the faith, Lord. Don't look at me that way, man, I'm leaning on the sword. Jumping from rooftops and dreaming indoors. There's colored stones in my mind, Lord, and they're graying from that sword. Eli and Howard lay talking on the desert sand. Howard stamping on his light bulb, Eli's bleeding from his hand. You know, I never would waste your time. God, why have you wasted mine? Eli cries, and wouldn't you? God, you know I wouldn't waste your time. Why have you been wasting mine? And Howard sees the future on the glassy desert floor. As he throws it in the air, can't you hear that wild wind roar? Thank you.
Thank you, Kieran. And our last reader for tonight is Mr. Rad Burkhart.
Heavy metal. Once all the madness had repeated, and the storm birds had cried their last, I lay in the ruins of a mutilated relationship and wondered how it all come to pass. I thought you were my friend, I thought, though actions and words spoke loud. And the labels of blame rushed into my brain, too immature, too stupid, too proud. And I remembered the song for your birthday that Doogie and I composed. We named the song True Soul Brother. What do you think we'd call it now? Do you suppose? And I know that underneath your armour your feelings as deep as a well, but if you carry on the way you've been going, you can fuck off straight to hell.